Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches, Perik Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches, Bona Cho'osh Beiso Uchesuka Aso Notzer. Iyuv is continuing to explain that it does not pay to be wicked. Even though Iyuv at this point in time is convinced that there is no such thing as hashkocha pratis, everything depends, everything is chance, everything depends on the person's mazel. Nevertheless, Eve strongly advises his friends that they should not choose a lifestyle of evil, of wickedness. He's warning them, do not come to the natural conclusion that one would reach if you believe that there is no such thing as hashkocha pratis. That's natural. If Hashem is not involved in the affairs of the world, so you cut corners. Get away with whatever you can get away with. You can cheat, you can rob, as long as you have a technique where you will not be caught, and you can survive, you can outsmart everyone else, why not? Go for it. No one's watching. So Eve says, no, that's not so. Eve says, you should not take that approach, because even if you do choose to follow a path of evil, who says you will succeed? Just like we see that tzaddikim do not have a good life, tzaddikim at times suffer, tzaddikim at times are born under a mazel that is evil, and brings them there, and they therefore suffer in this world. Guess what? The Rishonim also have a very high likelihood that their reckoning will come. They will also suffer through the mazel. So if it would, you would tell me that if you choose a lifestyle of evil, you're guaranteed 100% money back, double lifetime guarantee. You know what a double lifetime guarantee is? Double lifetime means that it's transferable to the new customer. When you buy an object, I never learned this yesterday. When you buy merchandise, and they tell you it's a lifetime warranty, that means they guarantee it for the lifetime of the product, they guarantee it for the lifetime of the business, of your lifetime, everyone's lifetime. But what happens if you sell it? You sell the object to someone else. Then the guarantee expires. You buy a car, it's void. It's only valid as long as you, the original owner. But once you sell it, then the guarantee is null and void. But if you have there's a term in business called a double lifetime guarantee. Double means even if you sell it to another customer, you sell it, it's also guaranteed. So it increases value. The object has more value because not only does it have value to you, it has value to the next customer. It's a technique. It's a marketing technique. So here, Eve is saying that even if you will convince me that choosing a lifestyle of evil gives you a double lifetime guarantee, you're guaranteed to succeed. You're guaranteed if you'll steal, you're guaranteed to enjoy the benefits of your actions for you and your children and your grandchildren. Then maybe you can argue it's kedai. It's kedai to choose this path of life at the expense of sacrificing your olam haba. A person, if he's going to be a rush, he's definitely not going to have olam haba. He's going to suffer in the next world, but at least you'll walk away with something. You'll have olam hazeh. So that Eve says, guess what? You're not going to have olam hazeh. Just like the tzaddik at times, l'pa'amim, does not have olam hazeh because he is born under a bad mazel. The Rasha is no better. The Rasha, it's very likely that he will also not enjoy olam hazeh. Just because today he is successful, tomorrow his fortune may change and he will lose everything he has. So what will he come away with at the end when the day is over? Absolutely nothing. Certainly not olam haba and not olam hazeh. And all of these psukim, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, are illustrations of where we find that even wicked people in this world, even we find that they lose their good fortune. And here is another example, Bane Cho'osh Beiso, that at times the wicked person has no choice but to build his home like an osh. An osh is like a tolas, a worm. When a worm builds a structure, it's worthless. In a few moments, a wind will come and blow it up and destroy it. And like a hut that is built by a watchman. A watchman's hut does not have all of the amenities of life. There's no air conditioning, there's no heating, and there's no, it rains, it leaks through. It's not exactly a very permanent abode. So that this indeed is like what's going to happen to the Russia as well, has no permanence in this world. Let's look at Pasuk Yuches in the Mitzudos. Sometimes, he keeps saying this word in the Mitzudos. Sometimes, Horace Space, so Bikalos, the beautiful abode of the Rasha is ripped to shreds, comes apart swiftly. So here doesn't mean he's loosely translating the word bonnet to mean that it's going to be, although it was built originally in with great strength and fortitude, but it will be uprooted. Now it will be uprooted like an osh. The kalos kibes osh uchasuka, and his home will be ripped to shreds. Will become temporary, like a hut asher osa shomer hakerem loshevis, but like a simple hut which a watchman sits in. Rashi pasuk yud ches says same idea, but he translates to the sukkah a little bit differently. Banika osh kitoila. Like a worm, an osh is a worm, haboy nechur she'enay miskayem, who builds a hole that has no permanence, uchesuka she'osa notzer hate'ena, like a booth.
It's a moth.
A moth, okay, a moth. A maggot.
It makes sense because it builds a hole. It puts holes in it.
Okay, it makes a hole. She'ena miskayem chesuka. Now here is a suka, not like the mitzudas chesuka she'osa notzer hate'ena v'hakerem. A person who watched figs and vineyard. She'ena shel kayama, okay, that's no permanence. Okay, that's like the mitzudas. But then in the preface he says, inyan acher, notzer hakerem, she'ena shomer b'chol eis, he's not there. These booths are only occupied a few hours a day. They're only occupied occasionally. They're not occupied continuously. Likewise, the Rasha, he will not be able to enjoy his home. His wealth will be taken from him. He will only be there temporarily. B'choleis zeh shamati svarim acherim einam, and other editions of Rashi, this parish does not appear. Okay, pasuk yitess, another examples. Oshir yishka v'lo yi'osef einav pokach v'enenu. Mitzudas adds a lot of interpretation to this pasuk. Let's see, yitess. Oshir yishkaf lipa'amim. Again, the Rasha has no guarantee. There are no guarantees in this world, because lipam there are times kasha yishkaf choyle al mitaso, when the Oshir, when the rich man, he gets ill, his time comes, he lies down, adayin Oshir, so he says, listen, I'm going to die now. Okay, I had a good life, and at least my children will benefit from my wealth. All of my wealth will pass to my children. Yadayin Oshir, but v'lo yamus ba'ashro. When he's dying, when he's in the nursing home, so the government comes and takes all the money. They tell him his insurance is no good, and all the medical procedures that are needed, they seize his assets, or they tax the estate, so on and so forth. And by the time that he dies with nothing, has nothing to give over to his children. So what has he accomplished in this world? One thing, like we said, we're trying to find an excuse. We're desperately trying to find an excuse why you would be kedai, you would be worthy to live the lifestyle of a Rasha, to be a ganef. Because if you can at least be guaranteed some benefit in this world, then you can make an argument, okay, I will give up my Olam Haba in exchange for Olam Hazeh. But he says, guess what? You're not going to even have Olam Hazeh, because Olam Hazeh, there are no guarantees either, even for the Rasha. Yeah?
So, the previous pasuk referred to the flimsy house.
Yeah.
Also refer here to his financial house.
Okay. Okay, it's financial security. Okay, same idea. Okay,
a play on words between Osh and Oshir.
I see what you're saying. Okay, Osh and Oshir. Bonet ka Osh. Aha. Okay, I see what you're saying. Interesting. So Amitasa Yadain Asher Velo Yamus Bi Asher. Why? He will not die with his wealth will be snatched right before he dies. And here the pasuk repeats itself. Od Enof Pikuchim, while his eyes are wide open, meaning he's still alive in the health of his life. Velo Yameis LaShachas, he has not yet descended dead into the grave. Va'avad Ha'Oyisher Ve'Ein Lo. Suddenly his wealth, his success is snatched away. Ki Me'Eis Nofa Lemita. The moment that he falls to his deathbed, nishbar choskoi, his strength is shattered, v'yavoshu kol hashelo, and it dries up all of his assets. So again, the point is, there is no guarantee in this world you will succeed living such a lifestyle. Pasuk Yitess Rashi, Osher Yishkaf, Yamus Be'osho. Now, Rashi is giving a different interpretation. Rashi is saying that the maybe Enochinami, the wealthy person, he dies. He does die, and in his bank accounts, he's there's plenty of money. Yamos ba'asha, but upa'amim shlo ye'osef l'kvuv. He translates words ye'osef, as is very common in Chumash, to refer to va'yigvar va'ye'osef elamoth. He will not merit kvuv. We take it for granted. We think kvuv. Unfortunately, we only have to look back at 9/11, where there were people, good people. Good people were vaporized. Mm-hmm. They have none. They have no zecher. I know someone told me yesterday there was a big meeting and many rabbanim were invited by the medical examiner of New York State to the World Trade Center to the memorial, a whole collection of rabbanim to give them a tour of the grounds of the memorial. The Freedom Tower, Ground Zero, so they can have the information they need to determine if Kohanim are allowed to visit the museum, allowed to visit the whole area because of all these new issues that have come up about questions of burial and bones. So there was a group of rabbanim that were invited just that they should know what the situation is. And of course you can hear different opinions, obviously. Some will tell you what's with, some will tell you what's also, some will tell you whatever. But here it's something which...
So in the end they have...
What?
They haven't come out with a psaki.
Well, you're not going to hear one clear psaki, obviously, that's for sure. I mean, who's going to get every rav, every organization will give their own, the OU will release an official statement, right? The OU, their rabbinic board, will release their official policy, and then you'll have the RCA will release their official policy, the National Council, their board of rabbis, and then you'll have the Aguda make a statement. Everyone will ask their local rabbi what is the situation? Can you visit Ground Zero? But the fact that we don't understand what it's all about. But being buried is a very big schus. The fact that a person a Jewish burial in halacha in Chazal, it's not a simple matter. Misaskin, they're very into this. They're always raising money for people to save them from cremation. It's a very big thing, not to have kvura, not to have a vaporization. Here it says that the Rasha will not have kvura. He may die with all of his money, but it's nothing. It's worthless. Money is not going to help you. It's not going to help him if he will not be zochet to kivura. In other words, the pasuk is saying is this rich man will be willing to forfeit his billions of dollars just to have the schus to have kivura. That's what it says according to Rashi. Asher yishkaf, good for him. The rich man, the Rasha, who is rich, will die, but he will not have the merit velo ye or safe. According to Rashi, he won't have kavura. Amazing. Okay. Then the last words are Asher yishkaf lo yosef enof pakach venenu, his eyes are open, venenu, Rashi is silent, so we'll just leave it with the interpretation of the Mitzudos, that while his eyes are still open, venenu, all of his assets, his wealth is taken away. Or maybe you can just translate very simply, enof pakach, that one moment his eyes are open and he dies a sudden death, ve'enenu. Chazal say that's also not a good thing. It's not good for the neshama to die suddenly. It's a much greater advantage for the neshama to gradually leave this world. And this wicked min will not be given that bracha of gradually leaving the world.
An example of a guy who was traveling, I don't want to say from where or what and how, but he was traveling on a plane. And suddenly, he was lifted on the plane, just like that.
Right.
Okay, the Gemara says this. The Gemara says that Misas Pisaim is not a, it's not a good thing. A Misas Pisaim. But if a person is terminally ill, if a person is terminally ill and then he dies suddenly, that's not necessarily so bad. Because
if you die slowly, you can make a husband.
Right. A person knows what's coming, and he puts his house in order, and then he dies suddenly. That might be a very big bracha. He doesn't have to suffer. All right, let's go further. Taski veu chamayim belohos. Next pasuk. The pasuk says that he will be overcome. He will be overcome by water terror. Balahos said this rasha will have no menuchas hanefesh. Menuchas hanefesh, mayim means, is a metaphor for something that's continuous. Water flows continuously. The terrors tsaros come upon him continuously without any relief. Laila, in the middle of the night, ginovatu sufa, a whirlwind. A whirlwind robs him from the security of his home. When a person is on the run from the authorities, he doesn't like to run away in the middle of the night. He would prefer to run away in the middle of the day, when there's light and you can see where you're going. But when a person is terrorized, as if there's a sufa, there's a hurricane, there's a whirlwind, a tornado that's about to destroy his house, he has no choice but to abandon, to flee from his home in the middle of the night. He's robbed from living in his home in the middle of the night, like when a sufa, a tornado is approaching. Sometimes, again, the word lipam appears here multiple times in the mitzudos. A rasha has no guarantees in life at times. He is overcome with a continuous stream. He's seized by tekufos, means continuous, by a stream, by a torrent of terrors. Ze achar ze, kishetef mayim, like a torrent of water, which does not stop. Laila, in the middle of the night, due to the terror, the fear, he does not want to wait until daylight. He's so terrified in the middle of the night, as if a whirlwind has robbed him in the middle of the night from his home, from remaining within the home. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk Chaf and Rashi, Bilahos, Shadim. Similar to Mitzudos, but instead of saying terror, talking about demons. The demons overtake in the middle of the night. Ginavasu Sufa, Vesashlichel Le Daronim, and Liderim to destruction. They cast them out into a state of Lideron. Like you have a Vahayu Lideron L'chol Basa, the last pasuk in Yeshaya. Deiraon. It's something which is abhorrent, which is detestable, something that you can't look at. Deiriya, you can't look at it. So here he will be cast Lideronim to a state of disgust or disgrace or suffering. That's what's going on to the Rosh. Pasuk Chof Beis. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Yisoeu Kadim, the east wind is the strongest of the four winds, will lift him up, V'yelach, and he will go on his way. V'yisa'arehu mimikamo, a storm, lashon of a the samach, like a sa, ruach sa'ara, a stormy wind. The sin over here can be interchanged with the samach. A stormy wind will cause him to flee mimukomo, to remove him from his place. Pasuk chafalef in the mitzudos, David vayashlech. Pasuk chafalef yisoeu uchiilu ruach hakadim yisoeu lemerchok, as if an east wind will throw him to a distance. Vahoylech vahu 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 hu b'makom shohu sham v'lo yashav ol lebeisel, he will not return to his home. The wind will drive him away from his residence, will sweep him out of his residence. A whirlwind will uproot him from his place. Rashi pasuk chof aleph. There is no Rashi pasuk chof beis. Vayashlech olav v'lo yachmol. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now vayashlech means, doesn't say who the subject is. Whoever has authority, whether it means Hashem, or maybe it means the governor, maybe it means his wife, maybe it means his children, someone will pick him up and throw him out. Vayashlech olav, will cast upon him trouble, tsaros, v'lo yachmol. And this individual, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will show this wicked person no compassion. Miyad v'loyachmol miyado baroach yivroch miyado, from the hand of the oppressor, the one that is oppressing this person, baroach yivroch, he will flee for his life. Pasuk chafez in the mitzudos, v'yashlech ze she biyado lahashlich, the one who has power to cast, to throw. Again, whether he refers to the mazolas, whether he refers to Kodesh Baruch, whether he refers to the governor, to the government, to the police, to his family, who yashdechalav harbi minat saros, will throw upon him many problems, v'lo yachmalav, and will show no compassion, v'chol oshroi v'tuvo yivrach miyado and miyado and olav. So here, the mitzvah story, it's not like I told you, miyado means that from his possession, from the hand of this wicked man, all of his assets will flee. This wicked man had tightly in his hands wealth, success, which he has robbed from others. It will now flee from his hands due to the fact that his good fortune has come to an end. Miyado, his success that is in his hands, Baruch Yivrach. One more time, those words in the Mitzudos. V'lo yachmol alav, v'chol oshroi, v'tu, all of his wealth and his good, Yivrach, miyado, will flee from his own hands. Rashi pasuk of Beis, v'yashlich alav, hamashlich alav, rav, v'lo yachmol, the one that will cast upon him evil, whoever the subject is, will not show compassion, miyado, shel rasha, umi koicho, umi mekoimo, from the hand of the rasha, from his power, from his place, Baruch Yivrach, it will flee. Ben atzoso, shehoye misa, so now here Rashi is coming to a pasuk in the Megillah that the people that once advised him. So the people that advised, okay, let's take a step back. According to the Mitzudos, miyado means the success that is in his hands will flee. Now the problem with that interpretation that Rashi seems to be addressing is objects, inanimate objects, don't move. So it's not, that's not a problem. That never held us back in Sefer Iyov. Everything is a mashal, a metaphor. It will run away. But here he's giving more literal translation. His advisors, the people, his close associates, who in the past, oh, Baruch Hava. Good to see you back.
See what the brains bring.
Beruach Yivrach ben Atzasa. So this means that his advisors, his closest associates, will now make believe they never knew him. People that were always at his right side, when this rush is put to shame, they will seek out his advisors for comment. And they'll say, who are you talking about? I don't know who you're talking about. I never knew this person. Who do we have that in the Megillah? Charvona. What did Charvona say? Gam hineo eitz asher osa haman lemordechai. What's the pasuk? Amon Mordechai, hineo eitz beveso. Take the piece of wood that Haman has prepared for Mordechai, and let's use it to hang Haman. But Charvona was one of Haman's original friends and advisors. He was
he abandoned him
because the only reason why he was close, you only want to attach yourself to the winners. Once the winner turns into a loser, you flee. That's exactly what it says here. This Russia was surrounded by a collection of yes sayers.
Radioactive.
Okay, very good. The butler of Melech Paras. I don't remember. Balshetzar. So they cut off the head of Balshetzar and they brought it to Koresh. And then, well, there was another story with Shaul, the Amaleki. The Amaleki brought the head of Shaul, or told, not brought, and told David that Shaul had died. David killed. All right, but the point over here is that now that this person has turned into a loser, everyone is running away. So that's what it means, Baruch Yivrach. They will flee. They actually have feet. It can be taken more literally. The people will now run away from the one who is a loser.
You see it right here now in the news.
Yes.
In Iraq, all
yes.
The soldiers are seated on the losing side.
They're running to the other side.
America is arming the system, right?
Yes.
All American weapons they're getting now.
Yes. He saw what was coming, the writing on the wall.
Right.
They believed O'Neill.
So they said, might as well get on with
on the right side.
Okay, well move on.
So that's exactly Ben Atzoso, the person that was his advisor, your close associates. Shahoye misayei betchila yivrach meezor yado b'shas kishloinoi. Now, when this person stumbles, he falls. So his advisors, they flee from assisting him. Kimosh osa charvona lehaman. Charvona was the one that gave advice to Achashverosh to put him to death. But gam charvona. Zohar Zohar Latov. Okay, now we come to the Pasuk Baruch, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Yispok Olemu Ka'apeo. This is taken right out of Kinos, plagiarism. Who came first? Who came first? So Yispok Olemu Ka'apeo, the people... The people will clap their hands, not to clap in applause, but they'll clap in mockery. It's a clap of mockery. Yispok olemu kapemo. They will clap their hands against the wicked person in a state of mockery. The yisroik olav mimikoimo, and they will hiss. They will hiss and whistle. Haman mimikoimo from their place. And Hanami, that's what we do. That's what we do on Purim. Purim, they follow the okay. Pasuk of Gimel in the Mitzvot. Yispak miyasha yadar lufanim yakeh. But the person that was new in the past, this Rasha, yakeh kapov zeb zeb, will clap his hands one against the other al mapaloso, to applaud or in mockery of mapaloso on the fool of the Rasha. Kishaderech haroye be'evdan davar gadol, like when you see the destruction of a davar gadol, it's you're supposed to clap. So it seems in ancient times you only clap when something bad happens. When a Rasha gets what he deserves, that's when you applaud. Otherwise,
the Arabs did when the towers came down.
That was joy.
Okay, let's see. The Yisraik to hiss. Al shivro yisrei kolecham yan shei mekaymo. They will hiss on the destruction. Each one of the people of mekaymoi, the people who are the people of the community of the Rasha, people who are aware of his evil deeds from day immemorial, from days and day will go and they will hiss. Asharo behatzlochasoi, they will who in the past saw his success. Vegam hasriko himiderech haroye beevden bedavar shrieking. Vegam hasriko who miderech haroye beevden davar chasha. That's also the custom to shriek when you see a Rasha fall. The choizer. Now, what is the bottom line? That concludes the parak. What's the bottom line? What is the message that Eve is trying to present in these psukim? So here, the mitzvah to summarize what we've said already 100 times. The choizer who al reisha samarav loymar he me here he. Means to he referring back to his original thesis. Im omnam shagam harasha mu'utad lemikre hazman. There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees of Russia. Don't make the argument that you might as well become a Russia. There's no hashkacha pratis. That's a given, and according to his mistaken belief, there is no hashkacha pratis. So it's natural to reach the conclusion, I might as well be a Russia. No, that's not the natural conclusion. Because just because you will live a lifestyle of wickedness, that does not guarantee you will succeed as a Russia in this world. Look at all the examples I have cited, where we find wicked people destroyed. At the end of the days, they are destroyed, because there's no guarantee for wicked people either. Therefore, you might as well at least have Olam Haba. You might as well at least live a good life. So, he's designated, he's set lemikre hazman, for random acts of chaos, which can come to the world to anyone, tzaddik or rasha, kimo hatzaddik, like me, I'm a tzaddik, look what happened to me. So whatever happened to me can happen to the rasha just as much, just as well. So therefore, don't lama yivchar me beresha. It's not a good idea to choose to be a Rasha. Halo noisif olav tzaddik, because at least if you'll be a tzaddik, you'll one thing you're guaranteed. Olam haba. Ki yisanag b'ta'anug hanafshi. At least you'll have the delight of olam haba. V'lo chein harasha. And that's not so for the Rasha.
This seems this whole parak is trying to knock off their arguments, but not to solve this problem.
Absolutely. We've only learned the parish according to the Mitzudos. We're focused very heavily on the Mitzudos. Everyone else, and Rashi doesn't really, doesn't, at least I couldn't have read into Rashi much different. But Rav Schwab, it's a whole different approach. The Malbim has a whole different approach. The Das Seifrim has a whole different approach. The Rambam. Okay, so just looking at some, reading, glancing through some of the Mefarshim, everyone has a whole different view of what exactly Eve is trying to address. I'm focusing on the Mitzvot for one simple reason. It's easy, and everyone has in front of us the Mila B'Mila. The Malbim is very hard to go through Mila B'Mila. And it's an approach. It's one approach to look at it. And Echnam, he's not solving the world's problems. He's not solving his own problems. It's just one simple thought. There's no Hashgacha Pratis. But that does not mean you should be a Rasha in this world, because you're not guaranteed to succeed in Olam Hazeh either. And therefore, what will you have when the day is over if you choose a lifestyle? Zero. You won't have Olam Haba, that's for sure. And there's no guarantee you'll have Olam Hazeh. So you might as well at least be a, you might as well be a tzaddik, because being a tzaddik, you'll at least you'll have Olam Haba. This world, anyway, doesn't make a difference. It's all dependent on mazel. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Chaf Gimel, the last Rashi. The people that knew in the past the Rasha, they knew his evil ways, they knew of his success, and now they see that he has been destroyed, they clap. And that's it. That's the conclusion. Okay. Pasuk now. Pasuk Chaf Ches. Pasuk Chaf Ches is a continuation of Iyuf. There really is no need for there to be a parak break. Okay. The parakim break with the breaks we know came from the Christians. It's not exactly clear why there is a break. However, according to the Mitzudos, we're now going to begin a new theme, a new idea. He's beginning to discuss the difference between wisdom, chokhmah, and success, wealth in this world. And the basic theme is, if a person will choose to focus on wisdom, he will have something eternal. If a person chooses to live a life to pursue gashmias, wealth, that will come to an end. Material gain and physical pleasure ultimately come to an end, and it's as if it never happened. But any accomplishment in the world of chokhmah, of wisdom, and for that matter, he actually says yirah shamayim, and matters of spirituality are eternal. Now, just to focus, there are two major psukim which open up the entire purpose of the parak. It's not clear what he's trying to do until you get to the middle of the parak and the end of the parak. So just jump ahead, look at one pasuk, pasuk yud beis. Pasuk yud beis in this parak, ve'hachokhmah me'ayin timotzei ve'eze mekoyim bina. Where can one find the source of wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? It's a very difficult pasuk, obviously. We'll see the mitzudos right now just to get a flavor of what we're going to try to do in the first 11 psukim of the perek. Pasuk is based on the mitzudos. Aval hatzlochas hachochma. But the success of wisdom lo keinu. It's not like everything that we're going to learn. Now, it's not like the first 11 psukim. He may eze Mokom he nimseis, from wherever it is. I don't know, he was going to say, I don't know where the source of wisdom comes from. I can't pinpoint its location. But haloi ein lo mokom gufni, hamotziosa, it's not a physical source which produces it. Ad shenachshev kasha yichla hadover, and thus, it does not have the limitation of physicality where it comes to an end. Ad shenachshev kasha yichla hadover hahu, tichle gamach chokhmah, when the source runs out, the chokhmah runs out. Everything physical comes from a physical source, and every physical source is limited. When the source is empty, there's no more enjoyment, there is no more pleasure. Everyone in the news is always talking about oil. How much oil is there in the ground? How many more years can the world go on extracting oil? 100 years, 150 years, natural gas, now they have new technology. But everyone says that it's limited. It can't go on forever. Even if we're going to figure out some technology, we're able to go use a very small amount of it. But everyone acknowledges there's only that much oil in the ground. There's only that much natural gas available. Everything that is physical, gold and silver, copper, all of the things that we mine, coal, there's only that much available. Eventually, maybe there's enough for 1,000 years, okay, but eventually, at a certain point in time, in economy, why worry about it? That's true. But even, but theoretically, if the world would go on for a very long period of time, everything physical will run out. That's the mitzvah. But wisdom is not limited to the rules of physicality, and it doesn't run out. What?
Takes far.
Yeah.
There's a limit to the amount of sperm that can be written. Just take all the alphabet and multiply it. Could be, you know, billions of books, but it's limited, right?
No, he's saying not. He's saying not.
It's going to be expressed by writing it down. The number of books It's limited.
As many books as we have as many clips.
But the ideas are not limited. They're not written down.
Okay, I hear what you say. This is what he says. He's saying, I don't know, this is his theme.
Right.
Okay, this Pasuk Yudbeis is critical to understand the point of the entire parak. If we don't understand Pasuk Yudbeis, we're not going to understand the first 11 Pesukim. It's very poetic. It's a very difficult parak. But this is the Shurish. Wisdom, spirituality, Chochmah, is not like anything physical. It has no physical source, and thus is infinite. Wisdom, understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, science, nature. Yes, that's included. Including the fact that's really what he alludes to. Most of this is not referring to a Chochmah Ba'amin Tamin. We're not even referring specifically to Torah, because who says he was even Jewish? We're referring to the Chochmah that exists in the world, in Teva, in nature. Anything of Chochmah is infinite. Whereas anything that is physical, gold, silver, wealth, assets, is limited. And there's another pasuk which is also very important, which sheds light on what he's trying to do at the very end of the parak. If you jump to the very end, pasuk chaf hey, vayomer lo adam, Hashem said to man, hein yiras Hashem hi chokhma, the fear of God is the ultimate wisdom, v'sur me'ra bina, and departing from ra is understanding. So these two psukim go together. Pasuk chaf hey is clearly a parallel to pasuk yud chaf ches. Pasuk chaf ches is clearly a parallel to pasuk yud beis. Yud beis introduces the concept of chokhma, me'ayin timotze, and the concept of bina, and Hashem answers, you want to know where chokhma is. Chokhma is rooted in yiras Hashem, and being sur me'ra, that's where the root of Bina is in the concept of Sumerah, and indeed that is infinite. The fifth Shulchan Aruch comes before Reishis Chochma Yirah. Okay. Okay.
That's for the Jew. What about
the guy also has Yirah Shemaim. The guy has Sheva Mitzvah Spnei Noach. The guy also has an obligation to believe in the Creator, and that requires Yirah Shemaim. There's no question a guy has a mitzvah to fear Hashem. It's all in Nichlal in Shemitzas. Okay, so now with that introduction, let's now try to see what he's saying. Pasuk Chavches, Perek Chavches, Pasuk Aleph. Ki Yesh LaKesef Motza. Silver. If you quarry, you mine for silver. Silver has a source. Motza means a source, where it comes from. And now we know the secret. Now you're going to read the psukim, you're not going to, what's so there for what? And if it has a source, it is limited. That's the key word. Anything which has a physical source has a limitation. Umokoim lazov yozoku, and there is a mokom in this world where gold flows. Yozoku the Mitsudos translates in it to cast. Okay, to cast, kamo yozoku matar, there's a place where the gold is cast from. It has a physical source. Let's see with the second pasuk base. Barzel, likewise, iron, ne'ofar yukach, is dug up from the ground, mined from the ground. The even yotzuk nechusha, and there are stones which flow forth with copper. Copper, it comes from stones. Copper is attached to stones. So from stones, yotzuk, It is the word yotzuk, I guess, here means poured. Nechusha is the source from where we pour copper. So he introduced here four metals: gold, silver, barzel, and
what are you saying,
copper.
All oil will come to an end.
Yes, exactly. All the assets, all of the commodities. Here are four major commodities: gold, silver, iron, and copper. Four major commodities. All of them are found in their root. There's a source for them in this world. And being that they're rooted in the physical world, anything in the physical world will ultimately come to an end. And therefore, when the end happens, it will be as if it never existed. When a person goes on vacation and you come back from vacation, sometimes people complain, you know, I went away for a week and it's as if I never went away. What did it do for me? Besides the fact that my bank account is depleted, spent $5,000, do I really feel different? Do I really feel I have accomplished anything? I refreshed? It's as if it never happened. That's what it's saying. If a person will pursue a life to acquire gold, silver, copper, and iron, the end, there will be an end. and when the end happens, it will be as if it never happened. So you wasted all of your time. Instead, the person should focus on pursuing Chochmah, Yirat Shamayim, because that is something which has no end, and that is something which you will take with you to the next world. That's going to be the theme that the Mitzvah is going to express throughout this parak.
Everything is created in this world is for the benefit
of man to use as a means.
So what can man exist?
No, of course you have to live. You have to work. You have to make parnasa. But it means it's what it means. What it means is you have to use it. It has to be used as a means to serve Hashem. Here, what he means is to use it as a means to itself, just to enjoy gold for the sake of gold. If you're going to use gold for the sake of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not what he's discussing. He's discussing using, pursuing pleasure for its own sake. Let's look at the mitzvah supposed to call Ki Yesh LaKesef Motza. Now, notice in these two psukim, Aleph and Beis did not say the word end. Nowhere did it say that word Kates. The word Kates first introduced in Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says Kates Sham Lachoshach. However, the Mitzudas is extremely liberal in his understanding of these psukim, and he takes the word Kates on the next Pasuk and applies it here as well. And that's why there's so many different opinions. Everything here is so vague, you can read into these psukim almost whatever you want. And maybe this psukim is really a continuation of the previous parak. Who says it's a new thought? Okay, but we're focusing on the parak of the Mitzudas. So Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudas, Hoysef La'ameis Tevarav, Eov here continues to validate his words by telling Lames Tavarov, a person should choose. I'm telling you, my friends, don't choose a life of evil. Don't choose a life of physicality. Choose a life of spirituality. Even though in this world it's hopeless. In this world you can't make an impact. You can't make a dent. It all depends on mazel. You should choose a lifestyle of righteousness. If you're going to choose to pursue silver or physicality, there is a source. Uchemokein, likewise, yesh mekom lezof. Asher hu natzuk misham, from where it flows, through its port. Vehema mekoymais min hu adama, places that their mind in the earth. Pasuk beis barzel, likewise, af barzel yesh loy mekoymotza min haof, from the earth. Asher yukach misham. Vyesh even, there are certain types of stones to which it is attached. Asher yutzak nechosh, from which copper flows, is poured from. Im kain nirul ayin. A person in this world can see with the naked eye, can see its source. Now the chazar, here is where he's coming to add, inject into the pasuk things that it does not say. The chazar v'nira eis yiposku. Therefore it can be seen its limitation. Since you can see its source, you can see that. Make a calculation. How much oil is down there? It's not going to go on forever. It's going to come a point in time where there's no more oil left. Ki yesh tachlis lahem. There's going to be an end. Ki lo la'olam yimatsu ha-kesef v'hazav m'makom echad. Once you mine all the gold and silver that there is underneath the ground, that's it.
There's not... In any one place.
So then go to the next place. So go to another place. So keep on going, but eventually it's going to come to an end. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk aleph ki yesh l'ketzef motza gam zetam acher l'dvaru harishain. This refers back to his original approach. Amar b'tzidkasi hechazakti. Rashi saying something different. B'tzidkasi hechazakti ki lom eheye rasha. I chose to be a tzaddik, even though I realized, let's learn the Rashi is saying something to the mitzvot, even though everything depends on mazel, and it doesn't make a difference, and nothing makes a difference, I still did not reach the conclusion that I should choose a lifestyle of resha. If I should be a rasha, because that will make it easier for me to pursue the benefits of this world of kesef v'zav, that's not a good idea. Lakol yesh motza v'sof. That's not a good idea, because that will also come to an end. Avol hachochma, Rashi right away here directs us to look at Pasuk Yud Beis. Avol hachochma me'ayin tavo. From where does it come? In other words, ein sof. Ein sof?
No, zeh sof
ha'parsha. Me'ayin tavo. Zeh sof ha'parsha. That's the end of the parasha. He yikara mikol. That pasuk is the end of this section. That's where really the parak break should be. Rashi over here is telling us that if he was there when they would break up the parak, he would break it up differently. That's the sub parasha. Rashi l'chor didn't have these breaks. These breaks came in existence hundreds of years after. Right? They came probably in the 14th, the 15th century. Or these parasha breaks. Ze soifa parasha. That is the soifa. And indeed, there is a pay. If you look at the pasuk, there is a parasha break. There's a soifa parasha. So that is he yukar mikol. Chochma is the most precious of everything. Al kain, therefore, yomai nasati libi aleha lilmoid. And therefore, I applied my days to wisdom, to study wisdom. And therefore, wisdom, what is wisdom? And as the end of the paragraph says, wisdom is rooted in Yirah Shamayim. And what Bina is rooted in Sur Meirah, to remove yourself from evil. And that means it's not proper to choose a lifestyle of resha. Next words of Rashi Makom, Yesh Lozav, there is a Makom, a source for gold, Shemisham Yozoku, the Yitku also, from where it is rooted, it flows, and it's poured. Where gold is, It, the word yazuka means to pour. Two words. Yitchu also means to pour. Two different words which mean from where it pours. Hey, pasuk beis in Rashi, the even yotzuk nechusha, min ha'har, from the mountain. Here, the even, according to Rashi, refers to the mountain. Yotzak ha'umin es hanechoshes, hanechusha, the craftsman, he pours copper. Harei techila v'sof yesh l'chol dover, shekol olam yichle v'chol asher bo. The point is, everything in this world, the olam hazeh, olam hagashmi, has a beginning and an end. But Chochma has no beginning and no end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came before the world existed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exist after the world comes to an end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and therefore the Neshama should invest in something which is long term instead of a quick stock, buy in the morning, sell at night, in the afternoon. That's not long. That's not a good skill. A person should invest in the future. Pasik Gimel. Kates. Now, Kates Shom Lachoshech. Hashem also put an end to darkness. Ulechol Tachlis Huchoker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu investigates the end of every single thing in the physical world, even or including Evan, stone, Ophel, darkness, Betzalmavis, the shadow of death. Now, let's see the Mitzudas. Kates, Shom, Lachoshech, Af, Lachoshech. In the previous two Pesukim, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, we focused on commodities. Gold, silver, copper, iron. Good things. But even bad things, even darkness, which is also physical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created darkness. Yotzer, or Uvore Choshech. Choshech is a physical creation. This is the very big debate. What is Choshech? The philosophers debate this issue. Chazal debate this issue. Is darkness the absence of R, or is darkness a creation? So we have a pasuk in Yeshayah that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Boire Choshech. Darkness is a creation. It's not just the absence of light. It's something physical. Therefore, being that it's physical, that's good. You know why that's good? What? The Yomesh Choshech. That was a different type of darkness. That was something which they can feel. That was an expansion upon. But even the Choshech that we are familiar with is also something that is physical in the eyes of Chazal. And that is a very great advantage. Because what does the Nafka mean that it is physical? It means it will come to an end. Because if darkness is not physical, it's just the absence of light, then it means infinite. And darkness, from our perspective, is not good. It's something which represents evil. So if darkness is infinite, we're in a lot of trouble. But being that darkness is a Berea, it is something that is physical, and is subject to the rules of physicality, there's a beginning and an end, darkness will also come to an end. And here he gives examples. Ophel v'tzalmaves. Ophel is two different. Ophel means darkness. Love is the shadow of death, different types of darkness. Now, what is very mysterious is the word Evan. Evan means a stone. It sticks out here in the pasuk, sore thumb. The word Evan doesn't really fit in. So the Mitzudas really shoves it in. Let's see how he does it. Af lachoshech sham kates mosai tichle. When it comes to an end, ki bichoir hayom. When dawn comes, tichle hachoshech, darkness disappears. V'ratzaloymar lachol davar yesh tachlis. Everything has an end. Bein letoiv, bein lera. The previous two pasukim good, and these two pasukim which are in this pasuk, which is evil. Next words, ulechol tachlis, hamokoyim baruchu, HaKadosh baruchu, choyker lodas, he investigates to know tachlis kol dover mosayiye, im ki anachnu lo neda es tachlis kol dover, although we do not know when the end is, HaKadosh baruchu knows when the end is. So in other words, we don't know when the world will come to an end. How much longer can this world go on? How much longer can the world... The world is a living organism. The world is a bria. Just like human beings don't live forever. Likewise, the earth also has a biological clock. It's going to come a point in time when the earth will come to an end. Even Oifel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu investigates. He knows the secrets when the world will come to an end. And Hashem also investigates. V'chein choyker lodas mosai tichle. So here's what he says. The word even is not a noun. It's yesod to Ofel. It is the essence. Even Oifel and even Tzalmoves. Even here means the essence. The yesod.
The Debir Amilo brings the Evan is like the philosopher's stone.
A philosopher's stone? What is a philosopher's stone?
He says here, Kadmoinim Hayuanim, Shiesh Evan Tamun Besisre Hataluma, Daifel. There's a hidden stone at the source of everything. Shayatei Shayada is Galu Hamatmoinim. You can reveal treasures.
That's later. He mentioned. Okay.
That's what the alchemists were always looking for. They were looking for this
stone.
This one stone that could control, make everything into gold and silver.
Okay, all right.
I want to ask you how you explain when we say an article always bears a characteristic of its maker.
Yeah.
So if Hashem is
infinite, so why is the world limited? So Hashem, man, the article of creation of the Creator is a human being, an Adam, the Neshama. And the Neshama is a chilek me'elokam imal. That's what we're referring to. The world, on the other hand, Hashem made a temporary world. That's how it is. It's true, Hashem is infinite, the Neshama is infinite, but there are things that are not infinite. This world is limited. According to the Mitzudos, he's saying something very unique. Even is it's a metaphor for the essence of something, stone, the source, the sheresh. So you have to repeat the word Evan twice. Evan Ofel and Evan Tzalmoves. The essence of darkness and the essence of the shadow of death. Shadow of death is a synonym for darkness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he investigates when will these things come to an end. Just like there's going to be an end to gold, silver, iron, and copper, there will be an end to evil, to darkness, and to Tzalmoves. That's the way he translates these words. The Rabbi Schwab, he quotes an ancient manuscript that he came across that says that takes note of the difficulty in the word Evan, and he says what he translates it to mean Lashon Bina. Evan, it basically is a synonym for the word Choker. Very unusual translation. Choker means to investigate. Evan means like bin Bina, understanding. Hashem investigates the nature, the understanding.
Evan could be the missing
yud. No, Evan means normally a stone, but he translates it as the understanding of the Ofel and the Tzalmoves, of darkness. What is their nature? How much time can they continue to exist in this world? Okay, that's a different idea. But it's a very unique way to translate the word Evan. Evan, the way it's spelled, it means stone. And to translate it here as
any attempt is going to sound forced here.
Okay, but this is what the Mitzudas is. Let's see Rashi.
It sounds forced.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's see over here the words of Rashi. Kates Sham Hamokoim Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has set Mosaiti Achoshech Shamayim when the Achoshech Hashamayim Nimluchu V'Aretz. Yeah, I didn't prepare this Rashi.
Which Rashi is this?
Wait, let's see. Rashi Pasuk Gimel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there will be, when they will cease to exist. One more time. Hamakom Mosai Tiachoshech Shashamayim Nimluchu. The word Nimluchu means it will decay, vanish. When the heavens will vanish, the Aretz Tivle, Tivle means to wear out. Ulchol Tachlis Tov Choyker Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu investigates the end of every single thing. Hashem investigates when will the heaven and earth come to an end, and when will everything upon it also cease to exist. What does it mean, Even? A stone. A stone, Asher Misham Yotzeloi Choshech, Vitzalmavis. Now, Rashi also is very bothered with the word stone. From this stone comes forth darkness, Vitzalmavis. Even is Mokom. Rashi translates the word Even here as this, as a place. Motza Puranus, a place that is the source of trouble. L'chein Nikra Even B'mokom Puranus, that's what we call an Even. We use Even, we substitute Even for trouble. Ka'odam ha'noigef es raglov be'Even she'yesh le'tzar.
Stamp your foot.
Person's, okay.
It's a stumbling block.
Now, what is Chavshin? Kach Shamati. That's what I have heard. Kav Tohu V'Even Bohu. Another example, we have a line of nothingness. And the Avne Bohu, stones of emptiness. Bohu of nothingness. So it represents the concept of nothingness. Demin Torah is Gizaris, Even, the Goymer. From the mountain, I cut out a line of waste and a stone of destruction. And okay, it also something has to do with destruction. It's pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says a line kav tohu ve'avnei bohu, which is translated. And another pasuk in Daniel, from the mountain a stone was cut. Min Torah is gizaros even, a stone was cut. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure the reference to the psukmar, but according to Rashi, the interpretation of even means it's a marshal for a place of Puranis, a mokoim of Ofel Vitzalmavis.
That's what he's saying. Even Ofel Vitzalmavis, the Ofel Vitzalmavis,
the place. When will come to an end? HaKadosh Baruch Hu investigates the end. The word Chogir is going back on Tachlis. L'chol Tachlis, Hu Chogir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu investigates the end of every single thing, including the Hashem investigates when will the place, the Mokoim of Ovil Vitzalmavis, of darkness and show, when will they come to an end? When will they cease to exist? Okay, so we have over here basically three interpretations of the word Evan. According to the Mesudas, the means that Kadosh Baruch Hu investigates the essence of Choshech, of Ovil Vitzalmavis. According to Rav Schwab, he represents Kadosh Baruch Hu investigates to understand. He inquires to understand its nature. Even though Kadosh Baruch Hu is the inventor, that Kadosh Baruch Hu fathoms the understanding of these things in order to know when it comes to an end. And according to Rashi, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu investigates the mokum, the place of the Ofel Vitzalmavis, to know when it will come to an end. Okay, let's see one more pasuk. Paratz.
How do you translate Shah?
There. Shah means there. Kates, and end is there. There in meaning in this thing, in this concept. There's something called darkness. In the concept of darkness, there will come an end. That's seemingly what it means, according to all interpretations.
You said before that Shemayim, the concept that eventually Shemayim Be'eretz will
come to an end.
So I ask you one simple question.
When?
Mashiach comes, people will live forever. So on what are they going to live? There's no Shemayim, there's no Eretz. So what happens?
You know who asked your question? The Rambam asked your question. And the Rambam says we have no idea what these things mean. We don't know the answer. Tishbi Yitareitz Kushis V'Avayis. We don't know what's going to be, how everything will play out. There are numerous Memori Chazal, and many of them contradict one another. Will the world go on forever? The world will live for 6,000 years, it's going to be 7,000 years, it's going to be 1,000 years where there's going to be nothing. There's going to be Tchias HaMeisim for some people, not for others. There's going to be two Tchias HaMeisim. No one knows how everything will play out, so it's just not for us to think. Okay, let's do one more pasuk. Paratz Nachal Ne'im Gar.
3,000
from Brisbane Absarim took place today?
Yeah.
It doesn't say it took place on Pesach?
No.
How do we know that it took place on, what's today's date?
Today is
Tesvav Sivan. Yeah. It took place on Tesvav Sivan. I'm sure there's another Chazal that contradicts that. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I think the common tradition is the Bris Ben Absalom took place on Pesach. That's the common. The little what?
No, because Beitzim Ayom is that's the
version
on that.
On Tesvav. Okay, so test of Sivan. Every 15th, the full moon is a significant day. Okay, let's one more pasuk. Paratz nachal mi'im gor hanishkachim minei rogel dalu me'enosh nachal. We're not going to do all the running out of time, but the basic idea is that he's giving more examples to express that the world is temporary. Paratz nachal gor means it's a natural place of flowing. There are rivers which for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, have been flowing from a certain source. Then they aggregate falls. Right? They're afraid now. They're afraid there's so much pressure that the where it's flowing from may collapse. And what would be so terrible if it would collapse? Now we're used to be. But they're afraid now. They've done studies. There's some significant portion of where it flows which may collapse. And if it collapses, the flow of water will be completely different. Will not be as dramatic. Will be a shorter drop. And that's a very big sakana for us because most of our energy comes from the turbines that are powered.
Down the flow that you see when you go to the falls is only 25% of the so they turn down the flow. It never goes higher than 50% because when it was originally, there was no reason, it didn't matter. But now that all the power stations are connected there, they can't afford. So they turn off the power. They turn down the water pressure, so to speak. So the falls only erode the mountain at a much
so small rate. Uh-huh. Otherwise, it would, in the long run.
No, they found the original falls. Uh-huh. All the fish skeletons were a half a mile downriver.
So the forest over time.
It used to be the water was there, not here.
Okay, it was much more powerful probably
right.
Then.
So they
want to preserve it. They want to preserve it. So here it's.
Actually, I think in the 70s, you don't see the flow of the
flow. They dammed the flow.
Yeah.
And for a half year they were working on the cliff to stabilize
it. Yeah.
Pieces shouldn't fall or whatever.
Okay, so here this pasuk says that just because things are, the water is flowing in a certain pattern, there is no guarantee it's going to continue like this. And when this change occurs, the world can very quickly come to an end. So the gar, the word gar is a difficult word. Gar here, according to Farsha, means to flow. The nachal, the rivers, they are flowing from a certain location, but suddenly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, or when the world runs its course, poratz nachal, the stream breaches, it is removed, it is uprooted, me'im gar, from its original natural flowing, from its source where it used to flow. And then what happens? People no longer visit that location. And the only reason why people were visiting that location was because they can find water. Water is the source of life. But now that the water is no longer flowing from this location, hanishkochim mini rogel. This location that was once a popular tourist attraction, was once a place of life, where everyone centered in this location because here there was water, it's now forgotten from mankind, from the foot of man. Dalu me'enosh, this location has been lifted up, been uprooted from mankind, nohu, and it ceases to exist. In other words, how could that be? For hundreds, thousands of years, this was the metropolis. This was the city. This was the place to be. Why was this the place to be? Because there was a source, there was water. There was water, you could live here. But now, suddenly, the river has come, it no longer flows in this direction, the river has changed course, it flows in a different direction, or the river has dried up, and water is no longer flowing. If there's no water, there's no vegetation, there's no source of life. It's a desert, it's time to move on, it's time to find a new place to live. And then the place that was once inhabited by people for centuries now becomes a wasteland. So what's the Musar Haskel we take from this? Everything physical is temporary. There are no guarantees that what exists today will be around tomorrow. The only thing that you can be guaranteed will exist forever is Yirah Shamayim. What do you say? Chochma and Yirah Shamayim, that's the only thing. Okay, let us stop.